And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome to the huddle, listeners. You are tuning into RBLR Bucks, where we chart the course through the highs and lows of Buccaneers football. I'm Gustav, one of your co-hosts tonight, and I'm pretty darn glad you're here. But I'll tell you this, I'm not glad about what happened this past weekend. The only thing that makes Monday even worse is waking up and remembering the loss from the day before. 31-26, folks. Call it what you want, but I think my colleagues and I have our own fair share of things to call it. But hey, you know what? We'll discuss that and, of course, our preview against the 7-0 Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, but you know what? Life happens. You know, we can come up with excuses and all, but what's more important is moving on and trying to forget the past. And by all means, if you need to relieve some of that stress, feel free to comment on our live stream below. Well, folks, let's just get into it. But this journey is by no means a one-man journey. Like the Bucs running back room, we've got an iconic trio at the podcast table. The RBLR version of Bucky, Irving, Rashad White, and Sean Tucker. Now, I'll let my co-host decide who is who, but I'm going to start off with the man on my right, Mr. Zach Blaine. I said earlier, you know, call it what you want. So, you know, what do you call our last game? And also, which running back are you?
I'm not Rashad White. I'll take Bucky. I don't think I'm allowed to use the words that I would use for what to call the last game on live. There's got to be a few bleeps in there, and I'm not trying to get our show canceled yet.
Not a problem at all. Yeah, you know, we got to keep it clean for the fans. So I don't blame you, but you know what? I think we all know what you're thinking. So
yeah.
And last but not least, the final piece to this iconic trio, Mr. Carter Brantley. The same question goes. You know, if there's one word, you know, you had to kind of describe this past game and then also, Bucky's chalked off. So you Rashad or you Sean?
I think everyone knows the answer to this. I'm Rashad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love me some Rashad.
Yeah, you give me Rashad vibes.
For sure, despite his fumble on Sunday, which was ugly. But, if I had one word, probably cowabummer. It was just huge.
Not sure it's a word, but I love it.
I'm kind of morphing two words together. I'm kind of cheating, like cowabunga. It was just a really big letdown. And we'll get right into it. You know, we'll get right into this show. But before we do, Mr. Tariq, does that leave you with Sean Tucker? How do you feel about being a Sean Tucker of this group?
And nothing wrong with that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Big Sean
I'll
Tucker.
Take it. But my word was just embarrassing. Is my clean word. Obviously, I'm kind of like Zach. There's a lot I could say, but I'm just gonna say embarrassing.
Yeah, embarrassing is a good way to put it. Because the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, like you mentioned, they were able to pretty much do what they wanted offensively. There wasn't a whole lot of resistance on that Bucs defense, but. Man, it's tough to see them continue to go out and struggle like this, because the big concern going in, I think for me at least personally, and I think for a lot of Bucs fans, was, oh man, how does this offense do without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? Like, is this going to be an issue? And for Sunday at least, it wasn't. You know, they were fine. Like, they weren't amazing. They weren't lighting it up. Like, Baker still threw a pair of interceptions. Like, it still wasn't perfect, but it was at least doable. Like, the offense did fine. It did its part. Like, it didn't win them the game, but it certainly didn't lose them the game. Defense did their fair share of that. So it was a frustrating loss for sure, but you know, there were just a lot of silly mistakes on both sides of the ball. And I'll start kind of with the Baker two interceptions. One of them was just terrific play by AJ Terrell. Like, Baker said it after the game, he was like, man, I saw something. And then Terrell came off his man and came and made just a spectacular play on the ball. Nothing you can do there. AJ Terrell, one of the best corners in football. But the other one was a 50-50 ball to Ryan Miller while he was being covered by Jesse Bates.
Everyone knows who Ryan Miller is. I'm not sure if anyone knows who Jesse Bates is.
Fact. name Ryan Miller and famously, you know, underrated safety. Just that's a bit harsh because it was a flea flicker. Like, you can only do so many things when you're running that kind of play, because you have to kind of react pretty quick. So, like, I'm not going to try to be too harsh on it, but it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, that's not a pretty picture. Like, Jesse Bates made a great play, but it's Jesse Bates. Like, if he didn't make a big play, like, that would have been more surprising. So that was kind of tough. But, you know, we won't harp too much on any of the offensive mistakes because the offense was fine, but the defense was the big culprit this past weekend. So I want to kind of shift our focus on that. So I just kind of big picture, like, after this game and after the past few weeks, is there a fix to this defense? Is there anything they can do? Like, is there a corner or an edge rusher that's available out there that's good enough to really make an impact on this team to turn things around, especially to justify, like, giving up any draft capital? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man, because you're always kind of coming up with these names. Are there any corners or edge rushers? Because I think those are the two big spots that the Bucs could use upgrades. Are there any guys at those spots that you think could make a difference on this Bucs team?
I think we missed out on Josh Uche. I think he would have been an upgrade, and he didn't go for very much at all. As far as who's out there for edge rushers, I'm not sold on anyone yet. I would have loved to get a guy like Reddick just to experiment with, but it doesn't sound like he's going anywhere after he worked everything out with the Jets. So as far as edge rushers go, I don't have anyone off the top of my head that's realistic. Like, you want to give me a Myles Garrett, I'll take it. But I just don't think I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So maybe as far as defensive backs, I'm still on the Greg Newsom train. I know that a lot of people aren't necessarily high on it, but I think Greg Newsom would be an impact player for us. Really any of the Cleveland corners, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Yeah, Denzel Ward's pretty good too.
I would take any of the top three corners in Cleveland I would take at this point. And I think they'd be worth what we have to give up. What exactly that is, I don't know off the top of my head. But I think that at this rate, if we want to contend this year, I think that something has to happen, especially on our defense. I think – I was worried about our offense, but like you had mentioned in the beginning, it's not necessarily something that I'm worried about after this Atlanta game. I know Atlanta's not a great team, but they're not a bad team. So I think we can make it work with our offense. I think our defense is in dire need of help.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, in an ideal world, if the Bucs were Kansas City, or if they were Buffalo, or if they were any other team with a franchise quarterback in place, like, they're going to be in Super Bowl contention for years to come. Yeah, go for it. Trade for a cornerback yesterday. Like, do it now. But as much as I think Baker's done a great job in his time with the Bucs, like, he's been a solid quarterback. I don't know that I would consider a team with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback unless they have just a bomb squad around him as a Super Bowl contender. Like, there's just a limited ceiling as to what the Bucs can do.
I disagree with that. I think that he is – I'm not going to tell you he's the best quarterback in the league. I mean, that would be a lie. But I think that he is a very good quarterback who is leading the league in stats right now, and I think that will continue. I think that for the next 3 years, we can have a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, like – for the next 3 years, sure, but I don't know if the Bucs will be able to compete for a Super Bowl with that time frame. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this defense? Are there any guys that come to your mind that the Bucs could trade for, or that you even want the Bucs to trade for? Because they've looked so bad. It's just like one guy would make a slight difference, but I don't know if it'd be a big enough difference to turn them into, like, you know, automatic playoff contenders. You know what I mean? So what are your thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, I mean, this defense is breaking my heart, you know, week by week. For me, I feel like anyone worth getting, it's not worth, I mean, it's not worth the reach or worth the draft capital or whatever. You know, I feel like we've been trying to get these kind of camp bodies or practice squad bodies, and I don't think that's going to get the job done. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, then, you know, you have to think about, how are these guys who are joining our team, how are they going to, you know, gel with the rest of the guys? How are they going to adjust? All that other stuff. But Oh man, I don't know what to say though, because we were getting cooked out there. So it's honestly, I mean, we saw Funderburg get replaced by Josh Hayes, and I feel like that's kind of a, you know, that's not an, it's just, I feel not like, you know, when that happened, I feel like, yeah, the coaches had their head down at that point. You're just like, oh dear God, you know.
Would you guys have considered us a playoff team the way we were playing the first, what, five games of the year?
Sure, but they had Chris Godwin.
Like, so Chris Godwin's big, but our offense isn't our defense was playing solid too.
Sure, but now that Chris Godwin's gone, the offense's ceiling is lowered for
it's
me.
It's lower. I agree.
See, to me, it's a significant amount.
Well, yeah, I didn't. I agree. It is, and God, I can't believe I'm saying it. Godwin hurts us both out of any injury this season.
For sure, also, no, absolutely.
Dean being hurt has significantly weakened our offense or our defense. Sorry. Dean being hurt has hurt our defense so bad because I think we're seeing McCollum played really good the first few weeks and he's not been great since. And then we've got – you couldn't even tell me who's starting this week at cornerback two. Like, right. That's my issue. If we have two even decent corners, I think we're in a better position than we are now. And I don't think we have two decent corners. I'm hanging my hat on maybe one decent corner right now. So
yeah,
I don't think that we are as far out as maybe you guys are thinking. I think that give us a corner and maybe put JJ Russell in at linebacker, please. And we look a little bit different out there.
For sure. It's just tough because like Musab said, like are any of these upgrades worth whatever draft capital the Bucks would have to give up? I don't know. It's tough because like you said, like putting Greg Newsome or whatever corner that the Bucks would end up trading for would be a solid upgrade. And I think edge rusher, unfortunately, like Zach mentioned, there's not really a whole lot of names out there. There's just no one out there that's going to be a massive upgrade. So, the question is you have to weigh the impact that a new corner would bring, to this defense and not only the impact that they would bring, but also the results of that impact. Like, is that impact big enough to push this team into being the NFC South champions? Maybe. But even if they do, like, is this team better than a first round or a second round exit? Probably not. So I don't know. It's
if tough. Godwin's back by the playoffs.
Oh man, that's a big risk to take on Chris Godwin.
A huge if, but okay, I don't know, dude. I feel like I have to re-say what I'm saying as far as, like, if we trade for someone, excuse me, it has to be someone who's got team control still. I don't want to trade for a one-year deal because then at that point, you're right. Like, there's no point in giving up draft picks for a one-year rental for Tampa because maybe we're not ready this year. But God forbid next year, who knows? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We've got a quarterback under contract who I think is a playoff caliber quarterback.
Sure, playoff caliber, absolutely. But it's tough to give up draft capital because those draft picks could be used to continue to support him moving forward. And if you trade for someone with more than just an expiring contract, then that contract continues to eat away at salary cap for next season because they have to bring back Chris Godwin. They have to keep Jamel Dean theoretically, unless they think, oh, we'll just cut him loose and then we'll bring in a different corner. There's just a lot of moving parts and
but that also makes it almost more flexible, in my opinion, because if you bring in a Greg Newsome, then you have the ability to maybe not bring Dean back if McCollum steps up as cornerback too.
Sure. But then you have to
– Godwin, let's be honest. Godwin's probably gone after this year anyway. Right. I'm not happy about that. I'm just saying
I get you. But then you have to spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver, and then you have to push – Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to get something.
Yeah, Godwin, I just don't
– first-round pick. I don't think – wide receiver, we see these guys. Puka Nacua, prime example, was not a first-round pick. It doesn't have to be a first round.
Not exactly a first rounder, but it's definitely going to be one of the key things.
It's going to be second or third. And if you trade away that second or third round pick for Greg Newsome, then you don't get the wide receiver replacement. You know what I'm saying? So I feel you. Like, Greg Newsome's a solid corner, and it would be a lot of fun. But I don't know. It's a tough proposition for an owner that, or not an owner, a general manager that has had the tendency to hold on to his draft picks. And I don't necessarily.
It's not happening. Like Tampa's not going to trade for a corner. This is all theoretical. Like,
for sure. Yeah. No, I feel
out, and then we're going to miss the playoffs, and everyone's going to go, I don't know what happened. Well, it's because our GM won't trade.
Right.
What's going
to
happen?
Yeah. We'll just refer them to you. Yeah, here's the X number. You could talk about it. 1-800-ASS-ZACH.
I play a lot of Madden lately, so.
Right. No, those Madden trades are fun, man. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. No, I love that. I wish NFL trades were more of a thing because it's a lot of fun. But with draft picks are just so like much more valuable than like
it makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing. I don't know, because if it were like baseball and it was just like money and like it was just like, oh, just go trade for this guy and like it's just the money issue, then yeah, go trade for him. But with the NFL, you know, it's such a competitive market. Like it's a relatively even playing field for every team. Like theoretically, every team should have a chance to compete. So every team does compete. Like that's the thing. It's not like you have, you know, a bottom third of the NFL that's just not actively trying to win. Everyone's trying to win, which is makes it a really I mean,
have you seen the Panthers lately?
I feel you, but like, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, no, the yeah, Panthers are,
you're 100%.
Yeah, for sure, though. I get what you're saying, but yeah, like, so it's a bit, it's a tough thing, but I also wouldn't have it any other way, you know? So it's a fascinating.
No, I think the way that the NFL is set up is the most fair in all sports, as far for as sure. Like, absolutely. You got a cap, you got like, there's, I enjoy the way it's set up, but there, people do take a lot of pride in their draft picks, and that's just the one thing I don't understand. It's like,
here's the thing, though, because I get it, though, because Jason like turns those draft picks into Zion McCollum's and Bucky Irving's, and he does a lot of really nice things with even the mid-level draft picks that other teams might not necessarily be able to do, because clearly Jason Light has figured out a way to evaluate them. Maybe he's just getting lucky. I mean, who knows? But he's done it all relatively often enough. Of course, he's had his misses. Every GM has, of course. But I don't know. I'm a little bit. I understand the frustration behind holding on to the draft picks, but I also understand why GMs are so, you know, they're so possession and prideful. Like,
well, the guys are pretty. They're all pretty young too. Our DB room is fairly young. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
These guys do need some more time as well. I mean, for yes, sure. It was painful watching some of these guys get cooked out there. But
yeah,
I don't think getting like, you know, getting even one really good cornerback is going to make a difference. You know what I'm saying? Because there's only so much he's going to do. And then boom, there's a whole side of the field that he's not going to be there immediately. So.
And that's what I mean. Like, I don't know that Greg Newsom's even like a lockdown. Like, he's not Sauce Gardner. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it's, no, but I mean, Sauce Gardner are few and far between, in my opinion.
Of course, like, for sure. But
you get someone who's two thirds of Sauce Gardner. I think Newsom is a good corner. I don't think he's a top five corner in the league, a top 10, but I think he's a very good corner.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe the Bucs surprise us all, and then they take a page out of the Zach Blaine playbook, and maybe if they're able to get away with trading a fifth round pick or later for Greg Newsom, pull the trigger. Go ahead, go for it.
Yeah, I think he's going to take a third or fourth.
Right, and that's where I'm kind of like a little more hesitant. But anyways, we've talked this topic to death. There were some game plan issues that I thought that we should kind of bring up, because my goodness, there was a fake punt to Tavier Thomas. Yikes. That was kind of a rough look. The Bucks had that blown up. It wasn't quite the Pat McAfee lining up under center with no other blockers with the Colts, but it wasn't
in the ball.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily great. So the explanation was that, you know, they got a look that they liked earlier in the game, but when they called that fake punt, they didn't get that look, but it was too late to change it. What? timeouts exist. Like, you can, it was just a very, very strange, strange development. And then the other thing that we talked about a little bit off camera before the show, there was the inside 2 minutes left. Bucks were at, I don't remember the exact distance from the goal line, but it was fourth and three. And the Bucks ended up kicking a field goal instead of going for it and trying to score a touchdown, which could have very well made the difference. So I just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on Bowles game management. What were y'all's what was going through your head when you were watching this game and Bowles was making those decisions? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, my man. What are your thoughts on Bowles' game management from this
past? I think he's the best game manager in the NFL.
for sure.
No, I think he is continuing to show us why he is not a good head coach. and I stand by that. I have for a while. I think he's a great defensive coach, which is so disappointing how our defense is playing.
Right.
But I think that it's like he's got no situational awareness. You touched on it on the punt, on the fake punt. You guys have watched in the NFL. If you guys have watched the NFL at all, which obviously you're watching our show, odds are you're watching the NFL. Check, 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 check. That's all. You don't even need to call a timeout.
Right, yeah.
Just be ready to punt the ball. Like, hey, if they don't give us this look, we're going to check out of it.
The ideology should be like, hey, have the punter check with the special teams coach. And if the special teams coach is like,
give a sign.
Give a sign like, ugh, or like, ugh. And it's like, oh, okay, we're just punting.
You can delay a game and just punt the ball. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then we have him kicking a field goal on 4th-and-3. It's like, you got to decide if you're going to be aggressive or not. You're either all in or all out. And I'm so over watching him fumble away opportunities, and it's starting to become more regular, and we're seeing it almost every game at this point. And I'm like, at what point do we go, all right, this guy is just not cut out to do what an NFL head coach has to do, and we're going to continue to lose. Liam Cohen is coming into his own, and I think that he's going to be gone if we don't give him a chance at head coach. So it's just, we're going to continue to lose good options for head coaches because we're sticking with this guy who just has proven that he can't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's a discouraging development for sure. But Mr. Tariq, maybe you're the Superman coming in to save Lois Lane or Todd Bowles in this case, or maybe you're just like Zach and you're going to take a dump on Todd Bowles' game management. What were your thoughts from this past Sunday?
You know what? I feel like it's very easy just to say, yeah, Todd Bowles sucks. It is. But, you know, I have to, you know, I don't want to say give the benefit of the doubt, but I mean, this was a whole kind of team effort, a whole coaching effort. And I don't know, the way the coaches, you know, approach this game, it's kind of like a bodybuilder, you know, like going to his first boxing match. You know, his punches can be strong, but if you don't know when to punch, it's going to bite you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what we're doing. This game was a battle of just two typical NFC South teams, and it was just costly mistakes, which is what really, you know, caused us to lose, if you ask me. Because, you know, if the Falcons actually were good, they would have ran over us, you know. But, you know, they made their own errors, their own silly mistakes, but that's just kind of the way I see it. You know, as Zach was saying, you know, either we're going to be aggressive or we're not. You know, it's like, we're dipping our toes in the water at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically what it is. And I mean, that's just one thing with, you know, with the whole punt and, you know, going for it or not going for it. But I mean, let's talk about that, you know, the end of the game, like the last minute clock management, I just thought that was embarrassing. We had a lot of, a lot of time. I feel like we just wasted, which is just like, I feel like these things, you know, you have to think about, you know, do these guys not think about this? Do they not practice about, practice these things? Hell, I think I saw Rakeem Jarrett like catch the ball and then like 3 seconds he's kind of just, you know, doing
like he looked long,
a little wiggle or something. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but again, you know, every second counts, and
it was very weird to watch that 2 minute drill. And this is something that I've brought up a bunch of times. It seems like the Bucks in the past few years have just been miserable when it comes to two minute drills. I couldn't tell you the last time they ran a successful one, to be quite honest. Like, whether it just these end of half situations can be like real. I know momentum doesn't exist, whatever. I'm not even going to touch that, but whatever. But regardless, like those end of half scoring possessions or not scoring possessions can be huge. They can be really impactful for the game because it's sort of like one of those things where, you know, you go into half and you had to settle for a field goal and it's like, well, yuck, like that sucked. Versus, hey, we just scored a touchdown. Like, we're going into halftime, whether you're getting the ball back or not. Like, if you get the ball back, then it's like, oh, let's go double that. Like, let's go get another one. And it's just a huge thing where, you know, or if you're on defense, you're like, hey, we just spotted you guys a touchdown. Like, we just snuck out with a touchdown. Like, go play, go get us some plays. You know, it's just, It's just disappointing to watch them continue to mismanage that aspect.
I just feel like the way the defense, just how atrocious our defense was, I feel like that was kind of a little bit of a contributing factor as to why maybe Baker threw those interceptions as well. You know, yeah, you got all this pressure, and it's kind of chop, chop, chop. You know, we keep giving up. Yeah, we keep giving up touchdowns. You know, we got to make something happen. So
yeah, he's becoming too much of a playmaker. Like he's, and this is my negative thing on Baker is he's trying too much, and I think a big part of that is because our defense is giving up so many points. Like you said, he's making throws that I don't even think he really thinks he can necessarily make this throw, but it's like, you know, I've got to try, because he knows going out that odds are our defense is giving up another touchdown. So like, and that's as far as like the 2 minute drills, I think that part of that plays into Liam Cohen coming from college. I think there's still kinks for Cohen to work out. And I think we're seeing it because it's a much different game than college football. So in college football, you throw that over the middle of the field, it's all right, clock stops, trying to move the chain.
Yeah, I get you.
And I think that has a part in it, which I not an excuse. Like, we're week 8 of the NFL season. You've had to work this out. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think that might play a role in it, where they're like, well, if we do it quick, that's, you know, whatever. But, I don't know. I'm just – there's so much to point at that's going wrong for us right now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a tough situation. The Bucs are in a tough spot. But if you're in a tough spot with your wardrobe and you're looking to improve it, you don't have to give up any draft picks to fix it. You know, you can just go on to the RBLR shop, shop.rblrsports.com, type in the promo code Cannons, and you even get 10% off your order. Because I know it's a tough time. You know, the Bucks are struggling right now. So here you can get something to kind of lift up your spirits. You know, maybe trick yourself into thinking that, hey, you know, Funderburk, that's actually Darrell Revis out there, you know, because you've got that shirt on. Then it just gives you the confidence to think that, you know, that Josh Hayes is actually Champ Bailey, you know. I'm kidding. I kid, of course. But, yeah, definitely head to that website right there and check it out. And you can pick yourself up some cool gear. Make yourself feel like a winner, even if the Bucks aren't necessarily winning too many games right now. But,
yeah, unlike our Bucks defense, we got you covered.
That's right. That's right. Yikes. All right. Oh, man, that's a tough one. But I liked it. I liked it. That was a good one. Oh, man, poor Bucks secondary. They're taking a beating this week, both on and off the field. If they're listening to RBLR, then, hey, thanks for tuning in. But sorry for for having to deal with a lot of these things. but we got the Kansas City game this week. This is kind of a big one for the Bucks. You know, well, not necessarily a big one or any bigger than any other game, but the Kansas City's undefeated. You know, it's a really interesting game heading into this weekend. It's a Monday Night Football game. So that's, you know, an extra day, I guess, if that makes any difference.
Yeah, you know how our primetime football games go, though.
Right. Yeah. It's not exactly going to be a pretty sight based on past performances, but hey, we'll see. We'll get into predictions and stuff towards the end. But, before we get into that, I wanted to ask about the offense because, you know, they were playing Atlanta this past weekend. Kansas City's defense is, I believe, in a different tier than Atlanta's. They are quite talented. They've got a really good defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo. They're a different breed than the Atlanta Falcons for sure. So were you encouraged enough by the Bucs' offensive performance to think that maybe they can make some noise? It's on the road against an elite defense, or is this kind of a rough matchup for you? Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on this Bucs' offense going up against such an elite defense?
I think we're able to make things happen for sure. I mean, we have the capability as well, and I feel like something that we kind of abandoned the last game against the Falcons was I feel like our run and screen game was, you know, clicking. But, you know, so it has to be a little bit of both for sure, you know, our pass game and our run game. But I'll be honest with you, I just have a feeling it's just going to be like the same thing that we played against when we played against the Falcons. Our defense is going to get cooked, and then it's just going to cause our offense to just, again, chop, chop, chop and get more pressure. You know what I'm saying? So that's my only fear, really. That's kind of the big thing I'm looking at is hopefully that doesn't happen, but it probably will.
Yikes. Yeah. I mean, you got to be real. You got to be realistic. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, Kansas City's just got such a unique way of doing things on the defensive side of the ball. You know, it's not even necessarily one individual player that you can point to. It's kind of the whole group. Obviously, Nick Bolton as the linebacker is really, really fun. But, you know, they've got some quality corners. It feels like they can just turn anyone into an elite cornerback. Trent McDuffie's really freaking good. So it's just, you know, it's going to be tough for this Bucs offense to get a lot going, especially in Arrowhead Stadium. There's just a lot of things going against the Bucs offensively. But, Mr. Blaine, I know you're not necessarily ever the optimist, but, you know, it's Baker Mayfield. You got to think he's going to make some noise against Kansas City, huh?
I mean, the one bright spot that I'm seeing with Kansas City's defense is they're not necessarily giving us – they're not the best turnover team we've played. In fact, we actually – they're a negative three turnover differential. So my thing is maybe we don't lose the ball as much this game, but – I have faith in our offense, as strange as it sounds. I'm not worried for our offense, if that makes sense. I'm terrified for our defense, which we'll talk about later. So I think that our offense can make some noise against Kansas City, even though they are a better team than Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. It's certainly going to be a really cool battle between Liam Cohen and Steve Spagnuolo. I think that's going to be a really, really cool battle just because, you know, Cohen's going to have motion out the wazoo, especially he's going to be having to crook some stuff up just like in Atlanta to get some guys open that aren't Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, you know.
I think Derek's played a much bigger role this game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I hope that they're able to run the ball a lot better. Obviously, Chris Jones and Nick Bolton up the middle are tough to really deal with. But at the same time, hey, Bucks got Graham Barton. Like, I know that's not something you want to hear, Mr. Blaine. But, hey, Graham Barton's pretty solid.
He was the lowest rated PFF player on the team last week. So,
all right, but how about the rest of the weeks? You can't take one bad.
I didn't look at the rest of the weeks. I'll admit it. But
for sure.
The lowest rated PFF player last week.
And I feel you, but Tristan Wirfs also had like a bunch of stupid penalties last week. Like, it was a weird game for the offensive
line.
It was a bit strange. So I'll kind of give them a mulligan, but yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit concerned for the Bucs offensively. If they can play a relatively clean game offensively, if they can, you know, get some things going, I think that they might have a chance to pull out an upset and give Kansas City their first loss, but I don't know. That's a tough thing to assume. So shifting the focus to the Bucs defense, because like we mentioned, they've been pretty rough these past few weeks. The good news is Kansas City hasn't really been winning because of their offense. Like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, like they've been okay, but Mahomes has been turning the ball over a little bit. Kelce has not been – he has not looked like his usual self, just being completely honest. They're still – acclimating Xavier Worthy into being an NFL player. Like, he's had his ups, but he's also certainly had his downs. And DeAndre Hopkins, newly traded for, we'll see how he's incorporated into this offense. So do you think this is an opportunity for Kansas City to sort of break out, or do you think maybe the Bucs sort of batten down the hatches and maybe Bowles cooks up some Super Bowl type stuff when they faced Mahomes the last time? Because Kansas City's got an awful left tackle. Like, I don't even know his name. He's a rookie. It's a hard to pronounce name. Poor guy, but he's been rough out there. Yeah, him and Jawan Taylor on the edges are rough. So I'm hoping that that's a bit of a – what are y'all's thoughts on this matchup with Kansas City for the Bucs defense and the Kansas City offense? Mr. Blaine, we'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, when is the last time you've heard of Kansas City winning games because of their defense? Like,
I don't know. Last year, their defense
was good, but Patrick Mahomes was putting up great numbers. Like, this year, there's no Patrick Mahomes has 8 touchdowns.
Right.
He's thrown for 8 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Baker Mayfield has 9 interceptions, but he also has 21 touchdowns. So it's like, I don't know what's going on with Kansas City. I'm so confused. I hate it. I don't like them, but they're somehow still good. And I think that this is going to be, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes throw some ungodly number of yard for some ungodly number of yards and probably 5 touchdowns. It's just, that's what's going to happen. Like, Tampa's defense is that bad.
Yikes. I feel you. It's not super promising, but there are certain matchups to take advantage of, and we'll get to those. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this Kansas City offense? Do you think they break out, or do you think maybe the Bucs are able to kind of hold the storm a little bit?
Well, Carter, everything you said about, you know, Kansas City is not like, you know, the Kansas City we know and all that. And, you know, they're, I guess we can call them mediocre and all that. But, I mean, so are the Falcons. You know what I'm saying? We made post, you know, post ACL injury, Kirk Cousins look good. You know what I'm saying? So they don't. They don't need it right now. They don't need to be the Super Bowl Chiefs that, you know, we've seen in the past. And the thing is, you know, what separates the boys from men to me in the NFL is, you know, these third down conversions. And I think, honestly, it's really going to bite us in the butt this time, because we know how Patrick Mahomes, he just, you know, finds ways to scramble, or, you know, he makes something happen. And they're just going to, you know, they're just going to exhaust the hell out of our banged up defense. And, you know, that's just my really big concern. Our pass rush has nothing. Our pass rush, honestly, is getting more and more depressing the more I think about it, just because of how much capital we've spent on all these guys, only for them, you know, to end up, you know, barely doing anything. You know, minus Vita Vea, of course, but just overall, I'm just scared. You know, sure, you know, are they just going to rack up a bunch of points? I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this, they're just going to exhaust the hell out of our defense. They're going to find ways to, you know, make Patrick Mahomes look really good, and Travis Kelce and everyone else. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Hopkins and, you know, Mahomes start really cooking it up, you know, this game. So who knows? Honestly, who knows?
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, the bad news about it is that Kansas City does do that little – the Bucs do this as well. Like Baker and Patrick Mahomes, they share this quality this season. They love the low depth of target, sort of the short out routes, the little bubble screens and all that mm-hmm. stuff. That's been a huge staple of both of these offenses so far this year. And the Bucs do not play that very well. Like, they love to sit back. The cover three, they run that more than any other type of coverage, and they drop back in the zone all the time. So
12-yard.
Right. Yeah. It's just a death by a million paper cuts sort of thing. So that's going to be tough to watch. But I did, you know, we've been pretty negative so far tonight. So I wanted to, before we get to our, you know, over under in the prediction segment, I wanted to finish off our main portion of this show with some favorable matchups for the Bucs, because there's got to be a one, you know, there's got to be one or two or three maybe. So I'll kick things off. I'm really looking forward to Zion McCollum versus DeAndre Hopkins, just because even if Zion gets cooked every now and then, maybe there's, you know, a busted coverage here and there. Zion's athletic enough to be able to keep up with Hopkins for sure. The question is, you know, Hopkins is such a physical wide receiver. I don't know that Zion is necessarily super, super great in that area, but I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Do you have any favorable or at least fun matchups for the Bucs in this game?
Oh man, this one's kind of tough. I'll probably just say, yeah, Bucs running backs versus, you know, Kansas City's defense, just because I feel like they're really our only hope. I mean, I think Baker will still be able to make things happen, but I don't have that much optimism in these wide receivers, of course, like I do, you know, with our running backs. And we're gonna have to make things happen with our running backs for sure, even if that means kind of, you know, short catches. You know, we're gonna have to definitely diversify, you know, all of our kind of strategies or whatever, using every single one of those running backs. Because, I mean, I would say, yeah, Zion's probably the only guy I would think of, you know, on the defensive side. I want these, you know, I want the pass rush game, of course, to improve, but it won't.
Yikes. Yeah, I feel you. I will say, like, maybe they are able to take advantage of Juwan Taylor in the left tackle, but we'll see. I do enjoy the Bucs tackles versus Kansas City's edge rushers, because as good as Kansas City's defense is, you know, Luka Dekke and Tristan Wirfs are both quite good. So hopefully they're able to kind of shore up the edges a little bit, because Kansas City's pass rush isn't necessarily dominant. You know, they just traded for Josh Uche for a reason. So, you know, it's not like they're super confident in who they've got out there, and you know, with good reason, unfortunately. So I think that's something to monitor as well. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? You got any favorable matchups for the Bucs, or at least fun ones that you can think of?
Yeah, fun ones. Let's see how many times Xavier Worthy can burn our defensive backs. I'm sorry. I'm so negative about this game. I've lost faith in this defense completely. I guess a fun one to me is just the matchup. I know that they're not going to be playing against each other, but the comparison of Mahomes and Baker in this game, because this is the first time in a long time I can go, well, our offense is actually better than Kansas City's. Like, statistically, we are a better offense than Kansas City.
Right.
So I guess just seeing the two offenses and seeing what one kind of prevails is a fun matchup for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole Mahomes versus Mayfield, they're both Texas quarterbacks. I think they both played at Texas Tech at some point. I think they were in the same quarterback room.
Yeah, didn't Baker leave because of Mahomes?
Yeah, because Cliff Kingsbury was there. Offensive coordinator, head coach. I don't remember which, but it's kind of an interesting little back and forth right there. So that's kind of cool as well. That little interplay. Also, Travis Kelce versus whoever the Bucks decides, whoever Todd Bowles decides should cover him, Lavonte David or Antoine Winfield Jr. That should be a lot of fun. You know, a couple of potential Hall of Famers in David and Kelce, or an up and comer in Winfield Jr. and Kelce. Like, that should be kind of fun. So. There are some interest. There's always going to be interesting things about NFL games in general. At least I think so. But maybe that's just me being naively optimistic. But regardless, we're still going to watch because it's the Bucks, but maybe not necessarily super enthusiastically. But regardless, what is enthusiastic is over under segment. We've got some fun stuff coming up. Mr. Blaine, hit us with your over unders, big dog.
All right, so we touched on the Bucks needing to use their run game more and an improvement in the run game. Do we think Bucky Irving has over or under half a touchdown? So do we think he scores, essentially?
Yeah, I think he scores a rushing touchdown this game. I think he punches one in. The only problem with that is they don't necessarily love to use him because he's such a smaller back. Rashad White's a bit bigger, a little bit more physical. I mean, I know Rashad White's not exactly a power guy, but compared to Bucky Irving, he kind of is. But, you know, Bucky's great in the open field. It's just when you get into those goal lines, goal-to-go situations, it can be kind of tough. But I'm still going to take, I think Bucky Irving scores a rushing touchdown this week.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go towards I'm going to go on the under on this. I just feel like we just have so many – I don't know, we got so many – weapons or whatever. I mean, it's just hard to just think of, one guy definitely getting a touchdown for me. I think it's definitely possible for sure, but I wouldn't count on it, to be honest. I mean, I think he's still gonna, he should have a good game, or he's capable of having a great game, but yeah,
I've got the over. I think he scores at least a touchdown. I'm hoping that this could be a big game for him. Their defense has only given up like 82 yards a game to running backs, though. So it's a little bit scary there, but I think that we have the ability with him to score a touchdown at least.
My next one.
I talk trash on our corners. Hazel agrees with me. Do we think Xavier Worthy has over 1.5 touchdowns? Because we've been getting beat a lot downfield. A lot of our touchdowns have been big pass plays downfield against our defense, I should say. So. And we know he's a burner. What are y'all's thoughts?
Mr. Tariq, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'll go over. I'm going to go over on this. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. I mean, like you said, Zach. So, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. I want to be as optimistic as possible, but what I saw this last game, I feel like a lot of guys are capable of burning our DBs. So, and yeah, oh. Carter, I'll pass the mic to you, man.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, the addition of DeAndre Hopkins sort of shifts everyone down a peg in their order of playmakers, sort of speak. So, like, Xavier Worthy was, like, kind of their feature wide receiver, but now he's, like, their third best playmaker, or third best throwing option. So I'm probably going to say under. I don't know that he scores a touchdown, much less two. Just because Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins are both massive. They're both also really good, and they're both veterans. Mahomes probably has a little bit more trust in them, a little bit more when it comes to those goal-to-go situations. I do love that they – because, I mean, it's Andy Reid. They're going to use Xavier Worthy in the gadget plays, little jet sweeps and stuff. So there's a possibility that he scores a rushing touchdown. So if you want to go two total touchdowns, that's a possibility. But even then, I still don't know that I'd go over 1.5 just because – man, two touchdowns from a single player is tough to do, even against a sorry Bucks defense like this one. So I'm gonna take the under. But I think that's all we've got for the over-unders, right, Mr. Blaine? That's all we got. Yep. All right, cool. So we'll get into our predictions. So I'll kick things off. I got the Bucks losing this one 28-17. I think Kansas City comes out on top. I don't necessarily think it's close, but I also don't think it's a blowout just because Kansas City's not built for blowouts anymore. That's not who they are. They're still a great team, one of the best in football. They'll probably win the Super Bowl again. Yuck. But they're just, you know, they don't have Tyreek Hill. They don't have, you know, all the dynamic playmakers. They're defense first, which sounds crazy with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. But anyways, yeah, I think Kansas City takes this one 28-17. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What's final score? Who you got winning?
I'm going to go 31-20. I don't think it's going to be like a blowout either. I just think that we'll be able to get some points towards the end of the game. I think they'll be dominating for the most part, but we'll somehow manage to, you know, rack up 20 points at least. I mean, I think our offense is definitely capable of, you know, doing some good things out there. It's just our defense, as we've discussed, you know, a lot during this episode, that we're worried about.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is a huge concern, but yeah, I mean, I don't think they win, but, you know, at least a form of optimism could be that, you know, things can't get any worse, you know, theoretically, right? I mean, the Bucks defense could surprise us, of course, but we'll see. Right? I feel
you. It'd be like a little bit of that USF-Bama game, you know what I'm saying? As long as, you know, we put up a good fight, that's all that matters. Sure.
And it's depressing to be talking about an NFL football game in the terms of, you know, an American Conference football team versus Alabama. But I get what you're saying, though.
Patty Mahomes, Jalen Monroe.
Oh, man. Not comparing Mahomes to Jalen Monroe. I feel you, though. All right, Mr. Blade, how about you, man? What's your score prediction for this game?
I know you said you don't think it's going to be a blowout. I do. I've got 35-21.
That's not exactly a blowout.
I mean, it's not a blowout, but for lack of a better term, it's an ass whooping. So I'm going to go 35-21. I think that Baker tries too much again. They throw another interception, and it's just I don't think that our defense is going to be able to stop Hopkins, Worthy. There's just a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Kansas City's a lot to do.
We haven't even talked about Kareem Hunt, who's having a great year.
Yeah, he's doing really well for himself. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, the Bucs are also – we got to watch out for the signature, either no-call pass interference in the end zone. You know, maybe they tackle Cade Otton while he's trying to catch a touchdown, and the refs are like, who? And, you know, that's how it always goes. Or maybe the Bucs just, like, you know, breathe on Patrick Mahomes, and it's, you know, roughing the passer, or they.
I was telling you guys before, and everyone on here listening, you guys can hear it out. The Kansas City Chiefs are going undefeated this year. They're going to win the Super Bowl, be the first ever undefeated since Miami, I should say. They're going to have the best record ever in football, and it's based off of them having Patrick Mahomes. The NFL is doing everything they can to make them the next dynasty, and that's what's going to happen.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not necessarily – I don't disagree. I don't know that they'll go undefeated. That's a bold one. But, yeah, I got them winning the Super Bowl as well. They got to have someone to be chasing Tom Brady because, you know, otherwise people won't tune in, which is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Like, the NFL has just disgusting viewership numbers every week. But, anyways, that's a separate topic for a different show. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in and sticking around with us, even through our Kansas City conspiracy theories towards the end. I'm the worst about that. I'm always coming up with those. That's not even a Zach Blaine thing at all.
I know, and it's so weird. I don't normally buy into them, but I am. Yeah.
Now that I feel you. But like I said, we really appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, definitely hit that like or subscribe button. You can give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. Keep up with what we're putting out. We'll be back at you next week, for better or for worse. Hopefully we won't have to talk about the defense too much, because either it'll be more of the same or we'll be talking about them in a positive way. You know, crazier things have happened, but you'll have to tune in and see next Wednesday.
I'll shave my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Oh, man. But anyways, we really appreciate y'all for sticking through our shenanigans, and we'll see you next week. But until then, as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.